Good morning. It's 9 a.m. I'd like to call this meeting of the Health Sciences System Committee to order. Winter, would you please take roll?
Chair Goodman?
Okay.
Here.
Vice Chair Brager?
Here.
Regent Del Carlo? Regent Del Carlo? We do see you. Regent Fernandez?
Here. Oh,
thank you, Regent Del Carlo.
Present.
Regent Fernandez?
Present.
Thank you. Regent McGrath?
Present.
You do have a quorum.
Thank you so much. This time, I'd like for Regent Gokuchea to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
You came all the way down here.
Yeah.
Yeah. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you so much, Regent Gokuchea. I'd like to now read our land acknowledgement. Before beginning, we take a moment to recognize that here in Nevada, we stand on the land of the Washishu, Washo, Numu, Northern Paiute, Nui, Western Shoshone, and Nuwu, Southern Paiute. We take a moment to recognize and honor their stewardship that continues into today. With this recognition, we state an intention to rightfully include their voice and respect them as the 27 sovereign tribal nations of Nevada. And now I will move to agenda item number one, which is public comment. Do we have any public comment at GBC?
There is none at this time.
Thank you. Is there any public comment at the system office in Reno?
None in Reno.
Okay. For all of those who would like to call in and offer public comment, please dial 669-444-9171 excuse me, and enter meeting ID 933-5568-7402 with passcode 555-555. Is there any public comment here in Las Vegas? Okay, seeing as none, we will move on to item number two, the minutes. The committee will consider approval of the March 6, 2025 meeting minutes. Do I have a motion for approval?
So moved by Susan Brager.
I have a motion by Regent Brager. Do I have a second?
Second by Regent Fernandez.
Thank you, Regent Fernandez. All those in favor of approving the minutes, signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, great. Thank you. Okay, moving on to number three, the chair's report. I believe I said a while ago that I take this position very seriously, and working closely with Marcia Turner and everyone in the system office, we have done some really great work. I'm going to have a sip of water so y'all don't have to endure this. Sorry. Anyway, we're doing some really great work in the health sciences space, and there are some things with regard to UNLV and UMC that are going to be taking place, which is wonderful. We're going to be moving forward, hopefully, with our 10th Amendment, and we will then move forward with, hopefully, a new affiliation agreement with UMC. And I just want to put on the record here, as I did in the county commission meeting, that this board is, at least I am, as the chairman of this committee, committed to making things work with UMC and UNLV. And so I know that UNLV is as well. So moving forward, I just wanted to put that on the record. Secondly, we're doing some really great work also in the space of our CSN and UNLV partnership, and so we're going to hear a presentation on that today. And finally, I just want to let everyone know that there are some things happening in our system with regard to health sciences, and we are aware of it, and we are making some really great moves to fix things and make things better. And so I just wanted to put that on the record for all of our individuals who are working within the system. So thank you very much, and we'll move on to item number four, which is the Great Basin College Health and Sciences Programs. Dr. Amber Dinelli, our interim, you're not interim anymore, are you? Oh, you will. Okay, fine. Our interim president and Dr. Stacy Warnett, Dean of Health Sciences and Behavioral Health, will highlight key health sciences programs at GBC and their impact on serving rural Nevada. I am excited to hear about this. I'm excited of all the great work you're doing at GBC.
So good morning, Chair Goodman, Health Sciences Committee, Chancellor McNair. For the record, I am Dr. Amber Dinelli, and I'm the interim president at Great Basin College. We are excited to present today. I have my Dean of Health Sciences, Dr. Stacey Wernert, with me. And so with that, we're going to jump right in. So we have a lot of programs at Great Basin College that are specific to healthcare. We cover a lot of small towns, a lot of vast regional area, and some populated areas like Elko, which have larger populations. Our entire population is about 50,000. So you can imagine being in a remote area how important it is for us to provide health care to all of our rural community members. Our mission is to transform lives through education, and nowhere is that mission more visible than in our healthcare programs. Each student who enters these programs takes a bold step toward bettering their future, themselves, their families, and our communities. Each graduate represents not only a personal success story, but also the vital addition to the healthcare workforce in Nevada. We are excited to share both the progress we have made and the opportunities that lie ahead. Today's presentation will highlight how GBC has built innovative programs through multiple funding streams, leveraging partnerships, and creating program design to expand opportunities to all of our critical healthcare areas. We will share how these efforts are directly impacting students' lives while meeting workforce needs in rural Nevada. You will also hear stories that reflect the transformational impact these opportunities have had on our students and communities. With that, I would like to introduce Dr. Stacey Wernert, who will share with you both the outcomes we've achieved, the promising initiatives that GBC is positioned to do. And so, Stacey Wernert.
Hello, good morning. I am Dr. Stacey Wernert for the record. As part of our mission of transforming lives through education, Great Basin College has been intentional about expanding access to health sciences programs that directly address Nevada's workforce needs. We're excited to share a few of our new programs that have been recently developed and launched. Our Diagnostic Medical Imaging Sonography program is our bachelor's program that was started in 2019 within Elko with recent expansion over the last few years due to leveraging multiple funding sources. We've expanded to Pahrump, Fallon, and Reno in partnership with Renown Health. This program addresses the need for highly skilled sonographers throughout Nevada. We need sonographers who can capture high-quality images so our providers can make accurate diagnoses and interpretations. It is now one of our most highly sought-after programs. For fall 2025 admission, we had double the number of applicants that we were able to accept. Our medical assistant phlebotomy EKG, or like we like to call it, MAPE program, is a unique program. In the fact, it's one of a kind, actually, as it combines three sets of skills into one program. In rural Nevada, it was important to our clinical partners that we had medical assistants who were able to do more than just some of the basic healthcare. They needed somebody in their clinics who could do take care of the patient, draw the blood, also take the vital signs and run the front office. So that's what this program does. It combines multiple skill sets. So these individuals who graduate are highly trained. When they come out of our graduates, when they come out of this program, they are able to test for three national certifications, one in medical assisting, one in phlebotomy, and one in EKG interpretation. The program is a 1-year, 2-semester program, so students are ready to enter the workforce quickly. The program is located in Elko, Winnemucca, and Pahrump. We started in Elko in the fall of 2023 and graduated 7 students in spring of 2024. The following year, this last academic year, we expanded to Pahrump and Winnemucca, and we just graduated 27 students. And then this fall, we admitted 33 students across our 3 campuses. Our cardiorespiratory care science program was created after the pandemic highlighted the need for skilled respiratory therapists and the lack of respiratory therapists across Nevada and especially in rural areas. The program is the first in Northern Nevada, and we have it located in Elko, Winnemucca, on our two campuses, and in Reno, in partnership with Renown Health. It's an 18-month program that we launched in spring of 2020, in January 2025, so recently, after we obtaining COARC accreditation for the respiratory program. And we just moved to a fall start and admitted our second cohort this fall. The paramedic LPN to register nursing is actually a pathway into our existing nursing program. But what this program, I call it program or pathway, what this pathway does is it provides opportunities to students to advance their healthcare healthcare careers and become registered nurses. So it's for experienced LPNs and or licensed practical nurses and paramedics who have working experience and educational experience. We offer a bridge course to teach them the fundamentals of nursing, and so then they're ready to come into our second year of our associate program with our current associate students. We just graduated. We started this program in 2024. We just graduated in May, our five students out of this pathway. And those five students were successfully able to pass the NCLEX exam. These programs are successful, especially in our rural areas, due to utilization of distance synchronous learning across our rural campuses and through Nevada. Students attend class where they live with instructors teaching from our different campus locations. Our programs have one cohort of students with students located at multiple locations, joining together for classroom learning. All of our health science programs include hands-on learning as well. Because we have several locations, we have laboratories at every location the program is offered. So students get the high-quality hands-on experience with the technology and supplies at their location where they are at. Our instructors, we have instructors for lab at each location, and then some of our instructors do travel to meet the students where they're at. Students then attend clinical rotations working with patients locally where they live. For our MAPE and nursing students, they are in those rural communities. For our sonography and respiratory students, they're in the rural areas, and then they're also throughout Nevada. Using district technology allows us to reach students across a large geographical area, allowing students to obtain a high-quality education locally while having access to skilled and qualified instructors. The instructor providing the didactic content may be located in Elko, with students located also in Elko, but in Winnemucca, Pahrump, Ely. Outfitted labs, again, with each, they get personal instruction in these labs, and we make sure that the students at each location are receiving equitable education. With that, I'd like to turn it back over to Dr. or President Amber Dinelli. We'll talk about how we have been able to put these programs in place.
Sorry. Thank you. For the record, Dr. Amber Dinelli, President of Great Basin College. One of the things that makes these new health science programs possible is our ability to bring together a wide range of partnerships and funding sources. So we've been really intentional about this, how to get the funding sources, how do we buy equipment, how do we leverage multiple labs, as Stacy said, and have funding for each one of those and also make it equitable. So an example of that is our diagnostic imaging, which we used Perkins funding. We also used the Nevada Governor's Office of Science and Innovation, better known as OSINT, dollars to expand to Pahrump, as well as a transformative gift from the Hemsley Charitable Trust, which allowed us to also expand to Fallon and provide scholarship opportunities. The other one's the cardiorespiratory program, and we were able to get, obviously, a significant amount of money out of the federal HRSA funding and another major contribution from the Hemsley Charitable Trust. Those close partnerships are how we've been able to build these programs, to expand them, and really provide opportunity for our students and our communities. Those students then are able to go right into employment. These are fields in which there are more openings than there are people to fill them. And so we're happy to say that any of the students who aren't employed is usually by choice and not because there aren't spots for them. By leveraging these multiple funding sources, we really are impacting our healthcare and the workforce needs. The other one is our MAPE program. We were able to use state funding resources to cover the essentials to get started. Again, those are things like equipment, supplies, support for faculty salaries, which is another area. Obviously, faculty salaries can be expensive, and so many times we use and we leverage Perkins dollars for up to 3 years. So as you heard Stacy say, we started with 7 students in that program, then 22. Now we're at 33. And so you can see that pattern of 3 years, how that funding really impacts a starter program with those supplies and the things that you need to get it going. And then when you're looking at that balance between what's your bottom dollar, and now can you afford the faculty that are teaching it as well as the supplies? After 3 years, you can see that's a star program. That's like a really good example of how to do that with Perkins funding. We also use federal funding for that MAPE program. We just happened to write a little bit of extra in there for some of the equipment that we needed, and we've been really successful in getting federal dollars, and so that's how we were able to expand that to Winnemucca and Pahrump. And in those rooms, it has brand new furniture, brand new Zoom rooms, like there's bottom to top, brand new flooring, everything. So when those students step in, it's like stepping into a brand new clinical facility. So we're always really grateful for all the dollars that we get. The other one is the paramedic LPN bridge. I want to make sure and mention that because we want to talk a little bit about what we did with that SB 375, the $1 million that we received out of the legislative funding in the first round. And that was really to develop the curriculum to add a bridge program in, as well as, you know, prepping for that enrollment in supplies, staffing with faculty, and that, again, just allowed us to kind of move to that next step. We're hoping to continue to grow that program across the board. One way we can do that and have a feeder for that is, obviously, we have a paramedic program. And so we're just kind of rolling those students right out of that into the LPN program as well. So Stacy's going to talk more about our community partnerships.
So one thing we're really proud of our programs is that we know that we're addressing the healthcare workforce shortages in Nevada, especially in our rural areas, and we're educating a highly qualified workforce as we do so. We know that students who are educated in the places that they live tend to stay there and work there, and that we are seeing that with our graduates as we are in our rural communities. In our nursing program, 80% of our graduates stay in rural Nevada, and that's been over trending over several years. And over 90% are staying in Nevada as a whole. And we're seeing this trend with our other we're starting to see this trend with our other programs as well. For our MAPE program, we've only graduated 2 cohorts, and 97% of our graduates have obtained employment in our rural communities. Our sonography program, our graduates that just we graduated our largest class last fall, and 90% of them had employment within 6 months in Nevada. Our students have also been very successful on their national licensure and certification exams. Our nursing program has had a 100% NCLEX pass rate for the last 4 years, and we were able to maintain that pass rate with the addition of this bridge pathway and program. And 100% of our sonography students sonography has a few different certifications, specialties within the program, and those that have sought those certification exams in small parts, vascular, OB, physics, they've passed at 100% pass rate so far. Our MAPE students, our first cohort graduated with 100%, and our cohort that we just graduated in May has a 95% pass rate to date on those 3 different exams that they've attempted. So we know that what we're doing is supporting rural Nevada, and we have highly qualified individuals who are working. We always say that when we enter or access healthcare ourselves, we want to see our students because we know that with the quality of education they've obtained, and we generally do if we walk into any of our hospitals or clinics in our rural areas. And with this, we have a very short video. We want to talk about that's a community impact. We know we're making an impact on students' lives, too, so we have a few slides to highlight that.
I chose GBC. I know a lot of people that have gone through GBC, and know the community that surrounds the different campuses all across Nevada. I've heard great things. And I think it's just a unique experience to have just such a great relationship with people that you know in your community that can kind of guide you and lead you towards the career that you want to choose.
We've included a few testimonials. These are from, these are from two of our recent MAPE graduates. And how the program has made a difference in their lives and their families' lives. And from one of our sonography recent graduates. And I'd like to hand it back over to President Dinelli.
So as we close out our presentation today, we always talk about our mission, which is transforming lives through education. I think you've seen how that works in our health science programs and the impacts that we're having throughout rural Nevada. And many of our students do train in urban areas, like that partnership that we have with Renown. And those are so important because a respiratory therapist isn't going to get some of those NICU, PICU, and critical ICU experiences without those partnerships. So when we talk about Marcia Turner and her role and what she's doing, kind of helping, sometimes it's getting us into those different areas that will allow our students to have access to those high-risk patients and training so that when they come back to rural Nevada, they've had those experiences and they're more prepared. And as Stacy said, when you walk into any of those emergency rooms, which I hope none of you do next week, but if you do, just know that, you know, at the end of the day, you have like some really well-trained healthcare providers across that I-80 corridor where a lot of traffic comes through. So we're making differences for our students, our communities, and we would be welcome to any questions that you might have.
Thank you, President Dinelli. I know that Regent Brager has a question.
Oh, thank you, Morva. And I was paying attention, so if I miss this, like here we have our career technical academies that have different components of education that help students focus on where they want to go and what they want to do. Do you go to the high schools with a presentation of what you have, like at, let's say at our eighth grade, whatever grade you want, but eighth grade stands out to me, eighth or ninth grade, of letting, instilling that in them of what they can do within their own community and how, you know, they can have this amazing career for life. Is that something that you do?
Yeah, so obviously we have a large dual enrollment. Our percentage for last year was 38% of those students. And so when we talk about dual enrollment, we're also talking to them about pathways because we want those students to move from high school into our institution and continue on. So we're always talking about those certificates, what they can get, how those lead to an associate degree, and then we have those 14 bachelor's degrees online. So we're always kind of feeding that in the very beginning. And then we also, we do less, I would say, with that seventh, eighth grade range. That's probably a good area that we need to, you know, target. The smaller children, of course, we have, you know, an interaction and an ability within our community events that we have where we're always highlighting different programs and invite the community to come in. And we also invite those families that have small children. So we do target some of those at those kind of events. We have four campuses. And so those events happen all the time. We had a Choose GBC event. Again, bringing those high schoolers onto our campus as well as our community members. And we did that at all four of our locations. So we're always doing bits and pieces of something. Stacy can probably talk more about health sciences directly.
No, and I she's welcome to, but I really appreciate that. Getting up, people need to understand the roles. I have always enjoyed, I had Sandy Valley, Good Springs, Mountain Springs, Blue Diamond. We're all in my commission district. So I was really used to interacting and sharing what they could do from being a trustee to a commissioner. And so I love that the continuum in your Pahrump and your, and of course GBC, all of your areas, that you are promoting that, because it gives them a skill that can never be taken away, and that they do have a career for life. So I appreciate that.
Our favorite thing in health sciences is when we give tours. We try to get the high schoolers to campus, touring our labs, turning on the mannequins, letting them touch the technology. We have a phantom sonography so they can scan a baby. So we try to do those things with the students, get them excited about opportunities. We've also reached out to our high school counselors, done a specific presentation, just healthcare careers in general and what those look like, and there's a lot of opportunities out there. And with these program expansions, we've been able to offer even more opportunities for our students in our areas.
Wonderful.
Thank you so much. It's really exciting to hear what you're doing and that the leadership is so amazing out there, and your staff.
Thank you. And I know Regent Regent Carvalho, do you have a question? Or okay, you okay, we'll let Regent Del Carlo go first and online, and then we'll come to you. Go ahead, Regent Del Carlo.
Hey, thank you, Chair Goodman, and thank you so much for this presentation. It was excellent. I'm so impressed with the foreign. I don't have a question. I just want to compliment you. I think you really know your market and what you need in those rural areas, and what you provide is just critical. To have four new programs, I'm especially impressed with the MAPE. Is that how you say it? MAPE? To take three different skills that would be normally separate certificates, combine them all into one program, do it over 9 months, and then that student then goes into your rural hospitals and has triple the skills that they would have had if they'd just gone one at a time. I mean, when you're in a rural setting, you've got to have more flexibility because you're wearing more hats. It's, you're not as specialized in them like a urban area. So I think it's really great how you've really looked at what you offer and are offering such great combined programs, and all the paramedic to LPN. That's really smart, because that's really the pathway. So, I mean, I'm really, really impressed with this presentation. I know that GBC has always had a very, very high pass rate, 100%. I thought since I've been a regent, it's been 100% every year. You must have missed one year that I missed, but this is just wonderful. You guys have such a wonderful program, and I just thank you for all you're doing for rural Nevada, because it's desperately needed. So thank you.
Thank you, Regent Del Carlo. Regent Carvalho.
Thank you. I just have a question about, do you see these students that have gone through the MAPE program or these other certificate programs go on to associates or bachelors, or are, since they're finding work so readily, are they going on with their education right now?
Yes. So what we have seen in these two cohorts we've just graduated is that a lot of students enter that MAPE program thinking, oh, I think I might want to do healthcare. I think I might want to be a medical assistant. And then when they get the hands-on experience, when they get into it, when they're in clinical, they want more, and that's what we're here for. We have one of those students has entered our respiratory program this fall, and I think we have four or five. We have four that have entered our nursing program just out of these graduates, and we have several who are taking now prerequisites. They're enrolled in anatomy and physiology and other courses that were that you need for an associate's degree that they didn't need for their certificate of achievement, so they're enrolled in those classes now to be ready to apply next year. So we're really excited about those opportunities. But yes, we'll see students that are entering the workforce, but they also are, they're wanting more for their education, which is great.
Great, thank you. And I appreciate that pathway and the stackability of the education that you provide. Thank you.
Thank you, Regent Carvalho. Regent Gokachia?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I've just got a question, and that's capacity. You know, In my career, I've represented 13 different, all or part of 13 counties in the state of Nevada, and I don't care what clinic you go to, whether it's Sandy Valley, Gabs, Gerlach, Beatty, you will run across somebody that has had exposure to GBC. But again, and I get a lot of people calling me and asking me, you know, trying to get into your programs, how much capacity have you got? I mean, how many are you turning away? And it's really critical in rural Nevada, like you say, especially, you know, the EMS, EMT program, and and I don't care what clinic you walk into, you'll find somebody that has been exposed at least to GBC. And I don't care if it's anywhere, if it's in Sandy Valley or Gerlach, you'll find somebody there that has attended one of your programs. But the question I have is, how much capacity? I get complaints, and, you know, well, I applied to GBC and I couldn't get in the nursing program. You're like anywhere else. That's a tough program to get into. There's only so many slots. How much capacity have you got?
So it depends on the program. So for our sonography program, where I said we had to turn away qualified applicants, we're held to our clinical sites. So we have to place our students. They need a lot of scan time. That's over 400, 500 hours a semester of just inpatient, hands-on with patients. And so that's where we're limited. And we use place students across Nevada. So we're able to take about 15 in that program. And we had over 30 applicants. So we're held to our clinical partners. But as we graduate more students with these certifications, we'll be able to have more licensed providers who then can take our students to clinical. For the MAPE program, again, we're held to our, we've expanded already. We've expanded to 33 students, and we can expand a little bit more, but it's all depending on clinical, being able to place those students in the clinical settings. And those clinical partnerships and agreements are really critical to us in our different areas, so we are able to put our students in those settings. The nursing program has ability to expand, and that's due to leveraging the funding and then the recent SB 498, as that was passed again. So we do have ability to expand. It depends on the community. Like I said, we are in Ely, Winnemucca, Pahrump, and Elko. So Elko and Pahrump are our bigger communities, so there's more opportunity, especially in Pahrump, for us to expand. Ely's a small community, so there's going to be a cap on how many students we can take in that very small community. So there's a lot of variability depending on the type, the clinical setting. For our respiratory program, we'll have students in our rural areas, and we'll also have to have them at for clinical, as Dr. Dinelli said, at Renown Health in those ICUs. So I hope that answered your question. We try to take as many as we can to burst to our clinical, where we're able to place them for a clinical for each program.
I guess my real question, are you having to turn students away because IE space and clinical settings?
For sonography, yes.
Okay. And I guess that's the question before us as regents. You know, how do we make that available? I know there are students from Reno that try and get into GBC because they're looking for a slot. And so I think it's huge. And like I say, can't thank you enough for what you're doing for rural Nevada. And if you're on an ambulance, you'll find out that probably that EMT road that's taking care of you came from GBC at some point. Thank you.
Thank you, Regent. Just a couple departing remarks. Amazing work, and the rurals are so important, and the work that you're doing there is just vital for our state. So I just want to say thank you. Thank you for the great presentation. Okay, moving on, we have our UNLV School of Dental Medicine and CSN Dental Sciences collaboration. Dr. James Ma, Dean of the UNLV School of Dental Medicine, and Dr. Janice Glasper, Dean of the CSN Engelstad School of Health Sciences. Dr. James McCoy, CSN Executive Vice President of Academic Affairs. Clarissa Cota, CSN Vice President of Campus Operations and External Relations. And Lisa Bach, CSN Vice President of Finance and Administration, will come up here and provide us with a lovely presentation to talk about this collaboration that we have going on, which I hear is going really well. So please come forth and love to hear. Oh, Dr. Klippenstein, you're going to be opening this up. It wasn't on my notes. I apologize. Welcome.
No, that's my fault. I interrupted. Oh. Committee Chair Goodman, members of the committee, Chancellor McNair. For the record, I'm Dr. Stacy Klippenstein, the proud president of the College of Southern Nevada. And for this morning, I am Stacy number two, just to make sure that that's clear. I am not nearly as smart as the other Stacy that was just up here with all the work that she's doing. But members of the board, I am very, very happy to be here today to help with the introduction to agenda item number five. This really does represent a great, great collaboration between UNLV School of Dental Medicine and CSN's dental program. So as you will hear from a number of folks today, they'll be able to share this great work that's been going on for a while, but we're now to the point with an MOU signed, moving forward, that we believe will do a couple things. So first off, let me just say thank you very much to President Heavey as well for some discussions I've had with him. Very, very supportive of this, and of course, Dean Ma, from UNLV and Marcia also from the INSHE office, as well as the team from CSN, a lot of work behind the scenes. But we really do believe that this will enhance the student clinical training experience. It will share a patient medical record system, offer mentorship and professional development opportunities, offer specialty dental services for the CSN DFP program or the Dental Faculty Practices program, and also enhance the overall DFP program. So we're really excited about the future that this will hold for CSN as well as UNLV, and I'm just excited to be able to do an introduction, and now I will have Dr. James McCoy come up and present. So thank you.
Thank you, President Klippenstein. Dr. James McCoy, Executive Vice President for Academic Affairs at the College of Southern Nevada. Chair Goodman, thank you for giving us this opportunity to present today. We have the opportunity to present to this committee, many of you will recall, in the March Health Science Committee meeting, and it's our goal today to showcase some of the efforts that have been made in critical detail over about a 25 or 30-minute experience today, if that's still okay. I also want to thank Dr. Marcia Turner, who has been at our side since the beginning and has provided guidance and a lot of great advice. And joining me today, as Dr. Klippenstein mentioned, we've got Dr. Ma, our Dean of the School of Dental Medicine at UNLV, Dr. Janice Glasper, our Dean of our School of Health Sciences at CSN, and Lisa Bakke, our Vice President for Finance and Administration, and to my right, your left, Clarissa Cota, our Vice President for Campus Operations and External Relations, and Ron Blaze, who sits behind them, who's helping also with some of the financial things related to this agreement alongside our finance people. So I share that to say this is an all-hands-on-deck experience, and you're going to see in just a moment a slide that really showcases the folks that are in the weeds on this collaboration with a little bit more detail. Dr. Klippenstein mentioned since our last March health science meeting in this presentation topic, we've had an opportunity to put together a memorialized agreement, interlocal agreement between CSN and UNLV that is in the signature process right now. It's almost done. But essentially what it does is provides an umbrella collaboration agreement, essentially saying these are the things, point by point, that we shared with you all in March that we're going to collaborate on. And each one of those tenets, as the team is presenting today, you'll get a little bit of a deeper glimpse into those things, are tangible things that all work toward increasing patient access in Southern Nevada in the dental science area, as well as providing a framework for education for our dental science students, both from CSN and UNLV. So it truly does strengthen the dental education and expanding access to care in Southern Nevada, which we know is a major tenet of our mission at CSN, at UNLV, and across INSHE at large. What this also does, Regents, is it provides the establishment of a leadership structure to see this project through and then beyond. Oftentimes we have great ideas and there's some rally behind the fanfare, but then sometimes it subsides. And so it was important for us to weave this collaborative into the general fabric of both of our missions at the dental school at UNLV and certainly at CSN's dental science program. So you're going to see some of that laid out here in just a moment. Back in March, for the Health Science Committee of the Board of Regents, we had talked about establishing a renewed clinical affiliation agreement. You're going to hear more about that. It is signed. We're very excited about that, and students are now able to interact between both the dental school from CSN the dental school at UNLV and then certainly at CSN as well. You're going to hear today about how we have begun to operationalize some shared systems as well as faculty exchange programs. Some more details from the two deans on that in just a moment. And then ultimately expanding services through specialty care. And you'll hear from Dean Ma about this in a moment as well. What this does is revolutionizes our dental faculty practice at CSN, providing even more specialty care than we're currently offering, which again expands access not only to the public, but it expands access to a higher education in these specialty care areas for our dental hygiene and our dental assisting students. I mentioned the leadership structure and the importance that we are all in on this collaborative. And to reference that, I wanted to share with you that we've established two teams, two co-collaborative teams between CSN and UNLV. The first, a CSN and UNLV senior leadership team. This team meets bi-monthly and is engaged in strategy design and support so that when our teams of people who are on the ground making things happen on a day-to-day basis, they know that they are backed by the highest of leadership at both of our institutions. They also know that we're working together, and this brings me to the second element of this team structure, and that's the operational collaboration team. None of this would happen, obviously, if we didn't have our folks who are on the ground, our subject matter experts, our dentists to our dental hygiene faculty and everyone in between, engaged in the day-to-day dialogue on this collaboration. And so to that end, our operational teams have come together on a regular basis, and they are actually moving the strategic goals into action. You're going to hear about each of those in a moment. To give you an idea of who makes up the type of leaders at both of these institutions that make up this senior leadership collaboration team, for UNLV, it's led by the dean, Dr. James Ma. And for CSN, it's led by Dr. Janice Glasper, our Dean of School of Health Sciences. I get to play a role in that, as does Clarissa, Lisa, Brooke Chapman, our department chair, Ron Blaze, who's the Associate Dean of Finance and Administration for the Dental School, Corey Gall, John Roxerod, and Dr. Kim Nels. And then on the operational side, you'll see a long laundry list here of folks who are truly our subject matter experts. These are our faculty. These are our program directors. These are our operational people from the business lens, the dentistry lens, and certainly the clinical side of the house as well. And while I won't name all of the names, I just wanted to pay reference to them because, again, this collaboration would not occur without them. So with that, Madam Chair, I would like to turn it over to Dean Ma, who will talk, and pardon me, Dr. Glasper, who will talk about the student clinical training collaboration that has now been signed. Dr. Glasper.
Good morning. Dr. Janice Glasper, for the record, Dean for the Ingolstadt School of Health Sciences. Just provide an update and some information on the clinical training collaboration. Our learners in dental hygiene, as you may be aware, struggle with identifying patients or sufficient patient base for their clinical requirements per their CODA accrediting agency. So this partnership will help us to provide our learners with access to various patients and patient groups through the UNLV Dental School. So they'll be able to participate at that facility to obtain those clinical skills that they need that we can't always provide them. We just don't have the patient base. So they have expanded clinical learning opportunities as a result of this partnership and collaboration. As Dr. McCoy and Dr. Klippenstein already noted, the MOU has already been signed or in the process of completing the signatures. It's moving through the signature process right now. But it's an umbrella MOU that has already been implemented to allow our learners to transfer or move over to UNLV and have access to their patients. Specifically, their VA patients that tend to have more advanced dental challenges. Pediatric patients, we don't get a lot of those in our practice. Low-income, socioeconomically challenged patients who just don't have access to good quality dental care. So we are hoping that through this collaboration, our learners will have a better access to a patient base to help them obtain their clinical skills. I also want to just mention that as we move forward with this partnership and collaboration, there is opportunity in that MOU for it to be expanded to add additional pages or updates to that MOU as we expand and add more services for our learners, for our programs, and for our local community. It's a systemness process, not just, yes, it is. Just between the two institutions, of course, but also in support of our learners in both institutions, as well as our local community of patients in dental sciences. Thank you.
Come on up, Dean Ma.
Thank you. Good morning, Chair Goodman, Regents, and colleagues. I'm James Ma, Dean of UNLV School of Dental Medicine. Very pleased to be here today presenting. The first bullet point, I need to mention that we have an electronic health record called Axiom. Axiom is the prevalent electronic health record used across dental education with approximately 90-some percent utilization across all dental education programs. So it's a standard that is adopted by across the United States, and it meets all the compliance and other regulations that may come up. Having access to that electronic health record is key. A little bit of background, UNLV School of Dental Medicine is the largest single-site dental provider in the entire state. We have over 200 dental operatory chairs with over 75,000 patients a year. It takes a big electronic health record, a robust record, to keep track of all those things. And as we share, it eliminates a lot of inefficiencies transferring patients across institutions, the mundane things like having to fill out all your personal information, your drug history, any medications, vaccinations, et cetera. It's all in there, so it facilitates the ease of taking care of patients across the board. And there is a bridge so that we can access or communicate with the medical information systems as well. So it's a very key piece of the puzzle here, although not a popular topic because it's one of these things that are like a utility. It's there, but it's very much needed, and we're very happy to have that in place.
As I mentioned earlier, related to our learners, this electronic health record or software platform will allow them to participate in clinical experiences. And because we're sharing this electronic health record, they will be able to input their information and data regardless of where they are, if they're at UNLV or if they're at CSN or if they're in our dental faculty practice. They'll be able to pull up those patient medical records that they've been working on and have access to it in all three areas. So it's a common shared instance for them. They're not having to, you know, carry papers and go back and forth. It's all right there. And that's also a requirement of our accrediting agency, CODA, which accredits our dental hygiene and dental assisting programs. CODA requires that they have access and experience to the electronic health record for the patient. So that this supports them as well in that way.
Having the electronic health record that is searchable really sets the stage for the future. We can run all kinds of reports and understand what's forthcoming. I'll give you one example. We know that in our pediatric population, 14 years and older, 25 to 30% are considered obese at that age. If we know that now, we can take actions to manage that situation because we know this is one of those childhood situations. If it's unmanaged, the child's destiny is fairly set. So that's just one example where we can cross over to other interprofessional areas and utilize mental health, or even our social workers and others to be part of a team that addresses the needs of our patients within Nevada. Next slide. The student exchange for clinical experiences is key. Although we talk about the dental field, it is very broad and thick. There's a number of specialties, subspecialties, and so forth. At UNLV School of Dental Medicine, we're fortunate to have across-the-board services that include things like oral pathology, oral radiology. We have a pediatric dental program, orthodontics, and we recently started a dental anesthesiology program. All the while, and you'll probably hear more about this, is we recently, we're going to have a grand opening pretty soon for an advanced needs clinic for individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities. We're going to restart our cleft palate craniofacial team. So you can see there's a lot of things going on here. And those all mean a lot of unique, high-level experiences that will be available to all learners. And we want them to be competent so when they finish the program and they see an individual like that in their career, they're not surprised. They've seen it before. They have experience in managing patients across the diversity of people that come in.
In addition to our learners having access to these different dental procedures, there's also a need for our faculty at both institutions to interact. This is how curriculum is developed and delivered, so that when our learners go to UNLV and see some of these specialized procedures, and then the two faculty get together, those conversations will help inform the curriculum that's delivered in our hygiene and assisting programs, so that our learners are not just better trained, they also have a better knowledge and understanding of dental services and requirements.
The next topic of patient sharing is a little bit of the peanut butter and chocolate situation, where on one hand, we have dental hygiene students that are seeking patients with certain types of calculus and things on their teeth to meet the requirements. But we have an abundance of those patients over at our facility, and it would be a great service to take care of those patients sooner. So this is a natural fit that's complementary, and just like peanut butter and chocolate, they taste better together.
I like Reese's too. In addition to that, this also provides an opportunity for the faculty from both institutions to interact in professional development activities. Activities that bring them together, that, as I said earlier, helps to inform the curriculum for our learners particularly, because they're in the hygiene and assisting. They're not dentists, but when they graduate from our program, that's who they're going to work with. So working with the dentists at UNLV and then those faculty coming together, we can support the dental services needs of not just our learners in both areas, both arenas, but also in our local community. So it allows those faculty to come together and build a strong curriculum, deliverable, professional, best quality learning experience for our learners and theirs.
I think I already mentioned the specialty services that we have, but I want to introduce another aspect, and that's for the aspect of the patient and the parent. When somebody has complex needs, often they find themselves driving around town for an entire day to see one provider, then the next one, and so forth. By having all these things under one roof, we really make it a much more efficient system, because understandably, many of our patients have very complex needs, and we hear the stories, people lament that they've had to reduce their hours that they can go into work. They've had to reduce to from full-time to part-time jobs simply to take care of their children by driving them around town. So that's another aspect of having the shared services, and it goes together with sharing of the clinic personnel as well, so that we can be more efficient in providing our care. And the bottom line is right there, the overall community benefit to not just the students, but also to those that we serve as patients. As far as equipment, I think it's no surprise. Dentistry, like many professions, is now a technology profession. Our students are learning things on CAD/CAM and actually spend a fair amount of time in front of the computer, not only the electronic health record, but everything related to imaging. They're using CAD/CAM to build appliances that go in patients' mouths and so forth. So the pace of technology and equipment has changed dramatically, and we recognize that the equipment over at CSN is in need of modernization. And we're looking at that. We know exactly what's needed to provide contemporary care, and that will be part of the formula as we move forward. It's not just the personnel part, but we understand that there's an infrastructure associated with that to provide the state-of-the-art dental care.
And at CSN, we have some old and outdated equipment. And through this partnership, we are hoping, planning to improve, add some updates and improvements in the equipment and resources that our learners are provided in the dental faculty practice, as well as what our patients are exposed to. Additionally, as I said earlier, there's an opportunity to add addendums to the MOU in this collaboration that's already moving through the signature phase. And as we expand and add more opportunities for our learners, our institutions, and our local community, addendums will be added to that MOU to update this partnership and keep it moving and in support of both institutions as well as the needs of our local communities and our learners.
In our meetings, we've had our eye on the future as far as long-term plans. We know there's some more immediate priorities, but you'll see and you'll hear there's some other things that we plan as far as new programs and initiatives later that we're going to do together.
Great. Thank you. I have a question. How are you billing for all of this? Like, what is the fiscal health of the program? So are you, we've had issues with some of our practice plans with billing. How's it going?
That's a great question. And we have the best expert ever to answer that question for you. And that would be Lisa Bakke, who's coming. She's not Bakke. She's all right. There you go. Thank you.
Good morning. Lisa Bakke, Vice President of Finance Administration for the College of Southern Nevada. So we might have gone out of order with the slides just a little bit, so maybe to address your question.
I know, but we're running short on time, so I want to make sure that we get done and not push everybody back. But I think the financial piece is very important.
Okay. Just a quick overview of the collaboration again then, just to discuss that a little bit. This partnership between CSN and UNLV aims to address the current deficit in the CSN DFP, and it's designed to benefit both institutions through both cost savings, revenue generation via the expanded services, and improved student experience and community impact. As part of the collaboration and stabilization effort, CSN will be improving their internal financial controls. There is a business model currently taking shape with a focus on patient flow, specialty service expansion, and clinical rotations. UNLV will lease 3 to 4 dental bays to UNLV, and that revenue from the lease will be directly applied to the deficit of the DFP. It's currently out there. We do have a lease agreement, which has not actually been started yet, but it is reflected in the current MOU that's been discussed and is being currently routed. Further details on the lease structure will be discussed in another minute, I think, in another one. I'm all out of order now. I'm sorry. the adoption of Axiom will also assist both institutions. CSN will definitely benefit from using UNLV's existing licenses, and which will, while we're enhancing the patient record access and clinical continuity as well. The new specialized dental offerings will generate more revenue than does the current general dentistry that's being offered at CSN. It will also improve educational opportunities for students and better serve the community's needs. The shared clinical personnel will also reduce staffing costs at CSN and increase operational efficiency. And we just discussed a little bit about some of these upgrades for equipment. Because operating under a deficit, as I'm sure you're aware, limits CSN's ability to upgrade our equipment, and which in turn impacts our patient care volume. So this will assist us in a very positive way.
Thank you. And how are you doing your billing? Are you doing centralized billing, or how are you all doing that? Is it per site, or how is all that happening?
The current billing might need to be addressed by Steve Jasper.
Currently, billing is separated between the two institutions. However, that it may be combined as we move forward to support you know, just the needs for billing from both institutions. But there is a way that, that we've identified to ensure that the funds that are for UNLV go to UNLV, and the funds that are for CSN go to CSN. If we have one of UNLV's third year residents, dentist, in our dental faculty practice, the services provided by that dentist are for CSN. And the services provided by our hygienists and assistants while they're at UNLV is for UNLV. So there is a way to separate billing, but currently it is separate at the moment. We have some of the same providers, so you know there's it gets complicated sometimes.
It does sound complicated. So I think it's vital to make sure that without jeopardizing access, definitely make sure that you're not leaving any money on the table, because I know that happens oftentimes with practice plans. So if you could just make sure we make sure that billing's tight.
You can count on it.
All right. Go ahead, Regent Brager. I know we're kind of going off, but it's already 10. We're only supposed to be an hour, and I know we have some things that, that we need to talk about. So if that's okay, we'll go ahead, Regent Brager.
If you don't mind, and I don't want to take anything out of order, but I don't want to miss out on being able to ask a question. As audit chair, and I've asked a number of questions, that your billing is so late, and this is from the audit, that people don't pay because it's been months and years. And so I think we need to look deeper into that. And I'm going to be asking for a very thorough audit. I'm giving you a heads up. I'll be doing that today. I don't like to hide anything. And I think it's very disturbing of how much money does not come in because of the lack of the billing get out there at a proper time. Secondly, and I hope you don't mind if I just ask mine, how many unfilled positions are at UNLV or at the CSN Dental School that have not been filled to be able to have the capacity of dentists to do the work that might be needed in the community? Plus, I do think that the UNLV Dental School is a secret out there to the public, which is I don't know why we do not have a good campaign to be able to bring more monies in and to be able to keep dentists and students doing what they need to do. Thirdly, and I apologize, but I want to get through all these, I do know that you are new, but I think you have a lot of work, not you, but, and I just went blank. We've talked a lot of work that you need to do. And so what I'd like to know is what is your capacity of patients, not today particularly, and why are we not able to meet the needs of getting the public in there? But I think it's the lack of unfilled positions. So I know I'm asking a lot, but I've done my homework, and that I think this is imperative. That school's been there for years. There should be a client base that just stays and a paid client base, because there are people out there who would like to use that system, and I know that it's not. So those are some of my things that I'm not going to be quiet on and that I'm going to dig deeper and deeper, especially as audit chair. Fair warning, I'm not meant as anything negative, but I just think we have the probability and possibilities to expand and extend and let people know that it's actually there. And those that sometimes need that help and only have Medicare or Medicaid, but that have a mouth, you know, they can't function because they have a mouthful of rotten teeth. And we know even in the student population. One last question, how do we service our outlying populations, such as our rurals? I think that's very important. Sandy Valley, Good Springs, up in the northern area. That's a lot. You're welcome to get back to me. That's my thoughts. They're serious thoughts, and I'm not going to let go of them.
Thank you for not letting go of them.
I won't.
We do have,
you can count on.
As far as dentists go, at the dental faculty practice, we do have full cohort of dentists. We need two dental assistants positions that we have open. We have one dental hygienist part-time position open. And I just want to bring your attention to the consultant support slide. We are in the process of bringing one on, which will help us to answer and address some of the very questions that you are asking us, that you just asked us. Billing. What can we do to improve that? What are our needs for faculties, dentists, hygienists, assistants? Both institutions, however, The consultant is primarily for CSN, to look at our hygiene program, to look at our assisting program, to look at our dental faculty practice, and to see what the needs are, where we can improve. And so that is, hopefully, will have us or allow us to answer some of those very questions you asked.
And I appreciate that. Where is your consultant coming from? And then I'll, I know we have a time, we're at zero. I can't help it. Well, these meetings are only every 3 or 4 months, and I've had a lot of opportunity to dig in, so I apologize. I don't really apologize, but I'll say it.
So to answer that question, though, I will give you a brief summary on this. So CSN is currently seeking an external consultant through an RFP process. It's open. It closes on September 9th. And we are seeking that consultant to support our strategic improvements and best practices. And the scope of work does impact two different areas, or it's going to affect those areas. One is DFP specific, and they will provide strategies to enhance the efficiencies and fiscal model. The financial analysis and review of operating efficiencies will be done, and they'll be tasked with ensuring that the lease is in alignment with UNLV's and CSN's price structure. In addition, they'll be looking at the patient flow and scheduling, resource utilization, the current staffing model, as just discussed, and regulatory compliance, which is usually important, and patient acquisition strategies. On the dental sciences program side, there will be an assessment of the intersection between CSN's DFP and the dental hygiene and dental assisting programs as it relates to the student clinical experiences. We will have recommendations from them for enhancing clinical education, improved integration between the programs, student rotations at UNLV's Dental School of Medicine, and they will be developing an implementation plan to include timelines and anticipated resource requirements. So those next steps would be the selection of the consultant, which will be coming up, and we anticipate that the evaluation, recommendations, and timelines will be delivered within 6 to 8 weeks after we've chosen that consultant. And in addition, we may be continuing that partnership throughout the implementation of this plan.
One last, and I so apologize, but these are, I feel like it's super important. Do we have any dentist needs for any dentists that have left the practice in the last 3 months or 6 months?
Yeah. We did for dentists. However, we just recently hired two dentists in the dental faculty practice, so those positions have been filled.
Pediatric?
I believe one of them has pediatric experience. However, as we grow, we're probably going to need more. But we just filled two dentist positions in the dental faculty practice. Okay.
And someone can get back to me on the rural situation, because I do think if we're not looking at that or getting a donation for a bus or whatever it needs to be, I think that the people in all of our rural areas really need to be able to have viable dental help, because the mouth is the root of so many different things. So I'll let it go this time, and in 3 months, hopefully we have another meeting, and I'll have a lot more things that I'm going to dig into.
Sorry,
thank you.
If I could quickly address that, yes. Rural effort, now is the perfect timing. We just received a brand new RV mobile dental, and we're working on programming for it. We would like to see it operational all year. It's not only a complete mobile unit, but also a mobile passenger van for the staff and supplies. So we welcome your input and guidance on where we're going to do the circuit to put this to full utilization. So the question and the timing is perfect. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I greatly appreciate that.
And I will also mention that our dental programs, hygiene and assisting, and several of our other health sciences programs also participate in a mobile rural activity where they go out together as a group in health sciences to provide access to various healthcare services. They do this annually, and they have been doing it. So I would like to see more of that, and I'm hoping through this collaboration that we will be able to get on board with UNLV and travel to wherever we need to provide services.
Thank
not
you,
just
sir,
in
very
dental.
Much. And to the chair, thank you for indulging me.
Of course. Thank you. Did you have anything more? I know we have a little more allotted time. I thought we had to get this done in an hour.
Did you have any more questions?
I have one question about
yes,
the MOU. Why couldn't you guys come with the MOU signed? What happened? Are you almost there? Like what's happening?
Well,
one of them has already
been signed. The one with the clinical affiliation mm-hmm. between the two. That one's already been signed and has been implemented.
Great.
This MOU we're referring to is the one regarding the collaboration. And that's you saw the team members. Mm-hmm. It's a large team.
Okay.
And so just working through the needs, the challenges, but we're there. We have a umbrella MOU that has been signed. I signed it, so I know it's broad routing. So it's already been signed and should be completed here relatively soon. It's just a matter of working through the addendums that will be coming.
Would you please, President Klippenstein, if you would just advise Chancellor McNair when that does happen so he can let all of the regents know, we'd be grateful to know. So thank you, because it's not done till it's done, guys. So let's get it done. Thank you. Do you have anything
James
else?
James, I'm back just
yes,
for the
ahead.
Last closing slide. As sure. I mentioned earlier, we're looking at this from a long-term perspective, and there's abundant need throughout healthcare and in dentistry. We're looking at joint initiatives to start a new dental lab tech program. You may not know there's a shortage of dental labs throughout the state and throughout the U.S. And by leveraging digital technologies, we can print crowns and make things in-house as opposed to sending them overseas. We also are looking at some joint research initiatives and grant opportunities, particularly those from agencies like HRSA and so forth, to carry this forward and make it sustainable in the long term. The last one, enough said about the needs of the community, everything from mouth guards to preventive care to issues with young individuals vaping and so forth. It's a complex problem, and we're approaching this in an interdisciplinary, collaborative manner. Looking ahead at the future. So there's a lot of more collaboration strategies to come. Thank you.
Thank you. One more second. We have Regent Fernandez, I believe you have your hand up. Would you like to ask a question?
Thank you so much, Madam Chair. Actually, I just wanted to make a quick comment on this whole plan as a whole. I actually am gotten my braces at UNLV to the ortho school. My parents have gone to the UNLV School of Medicine. I get my dental hygienist at CSN campus. So this, I could not be more elated by the fact that this is coming together in a way that is truly collaborative in nature and really comes to help not only the students and the faculty that are involved in said process, but also the community. It's, you know, to my colleague, Regent Brager, saying that this is our wonderful secret. I am not here to keep any secret at all. I try to recommend as many folks as possible that need dental help in one way or another. And you know, the reason I even went and started going to CSN the first place is I needed a second opinion on something that I had heard, and fell in love with the faculty that attended to me, with the dental hygienist that that I've worked with. I actually have my appointment next week. So I'm looking forward to continue to contribute, but also to Regent Brager's point, I really hope that we can also have a really strong campaign around this with the community. There are so many different health issues that come when there is bad dental hygiene, and you all know it well, and I don't want to underscore that even further. However, it is incumbent on us to really make sure that our communities are well taken care of through the work that you're all doing. So the more that we can get faculty hired in these in these roles, the more that we can get people out from the community to take advantage of really the great level of service that UNLV and CSM provide, the better we are. So I'm really happy that this is something that has been in the works. I'm really happy that this collaboration will really help strengthen both institutions. And I just want to thank you all for this presentation today.
Thank you. I just wanted to make one final comment and then I'll leave you alone. This could not be possible without the support and encouragement from Dr. Marcia Turner. We could not have come this far. She has been instrumental in supporting us, in communicating with us, in asking that all-important question, what do you need and how can I help you? So I just want to just give a shout out for Dr. Marcia Turner for her interaction with us, meeting with us regularly, and kind of helping us move this along. So thank you, Dr. Turner, for your input, your support, your encouragement, and the cheers, too. Thank you.
Thank you so much. You are a superstar, Dr. Turner, and so is the whole team here. So thank you for this presentation. We're excited to hear how it moves forward, and maybe we need to think about an ad campaign or something. So, all right, we'll move on to our next item. We have our, speaking of Dr. Marcia Turner, is going to give us an NSHE Health Sciences update. She's, well, come on up. There you are. You're going to give us an overview of strategic NSHE Health Sciences initiatives that are currently underway, and you're going to share an update on key bills, which I'm excited to hear as well. Thank you, Dr. Turner.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Marcia Turner, for the record. It's a pleasure to be here, and what great presentations. I'm so excited. And both the GBC presentation and this collaboration on dental are two great examples of the dynamics of health sciences throughout NSHE, how there's so many different programs, individual programs that what can we do to help any individual program succeed, and then how can we help facilitate collaboration between and among programs, even within an institution, but also across institutions. And so it's such a great example of the two different areas that we have so much to be proud of in the work that's being done throughout our schools. And it's just a pleasure to get to work with all these great folks. As you said, I'm going to talk a little bit about kind of the operational strategic thing that we're doing to help look at what do we have in health sciences, and from a system standpoint, right now at this moment in time, what can we do to help support the programs? What does that look like? What is the dynamics in higher ed right now, in our markets, in our healthcare industry? What are the demands? And what do we offer? How do we understand what we have so that we can celebrate it, so that we can promote it, so that we can help understand if there's any needs for any individual program, or how can we help improve the efficiency and effectiveness, collaboration, coordination among all the different programs. And so one of the things that we're working on, and Chancellor McNair asked us to do, is begin at the beginning. What do we have today? And so one of the things we're working on, and it's still a work in progress so that we can dive down really deep into it and analyze it, is to understand what do we currently have? Across the seven degree-granting institutions, and DRI, you're not out of the woods either, because we're going to come talk to you about what research you're doing or what you're doing in the health sciences. But as far as the degree-granting institutions, we did a tally. So just take a guess, or just think about what the number is of how many health sciences degree and certificate programs. Like in nursing, there's CNAs and RNs and all the different levels. Just in your mind, think of a guess of what you have. Drum roll, 204. Is that high or low? Well, I was pleasantly surprised because that number has grown since I've been away from NSHE, so there's definitely some nice expansion of programs. But that's a pretty significant number of programs, and that's everything from CNAs and certificates all the way up to the medical schools. And what we're doing, too, is, in addition to just knowing that number, we're analyzing, okay, so what are the clusters? What do we have in mental and behavioral health? What do we have in nursing? We have, if you look at allied health in a big general statement, it's, 114 programs. we need to dive deeper into that. What do we have in the graduate level? What do we have in the certificate level? What is the, and working with Dan Archer and his folks on academic affairs and workforce development, how do we make sure that we're looking and we're all coordinating as we're looking at this? So one of the things that's going on is just a deeper dive, just to understand what we have and identify and analyze ways that we, from the system standpoint, can support the programs and talk with the programs to make sure they all know what their sister institutions have. Because that's one of the things that I think a lot of times everyone's so focused on what they're doing, and they know there's something at another school, but they don't know there's an opportunity to go after a grant or something along those lines. The other thing we're looking at is, how do the health sciences programs differ? What is unique about the health sciences programs that makes them different from all the other degrees and certificates that we offer throughout ANCHI? We have academic affairs. We analyze the programs. We do workforce development. We have budgets. We have government affairs. But when you look at the health sciences programs, as you've heard today, they're educational and they're businesses. And so they have this extra layer on top in a lot of different ways that's transitions into the discussions and the questions you were just having. The history department doesn't get questions like that. And so there's different levels of support that we need to work with the schools and find out what can we at the system level do to help you. In a lot of cases, they're good, and they've got it under control, and they've got all the resources they need. But in some cases, they need help either connecting with the other schools or in working with a hospital partner or the outside folks or working with DHHS or working with Medicaid. And what can we do that's just a little bit different than the traditional higher ed element, that's more of the health science business market interaction element? And that's one of the things that we want to look at. What can we do to help in those areas? Because the world's changing, too. I mean, even just the changes in Medicaid, that is changing the way the hospitals make their business decisions, which is going to have an impact on our programs, too. So when you look at the different functions, and this is one of these things that we're diving deeper, and we'll keep you in the loop as we get deeper into this analysis, but on a bigger level, there's sort of the academic functions, there's the clinical functions, where our folks are providing not just the clinical skills and the hands-on with the mannequins in a skills lab, but they're actually undergrad and graduate level actually providing care. And our faculty members are providing care. We have the practice plans. We have the medical billing component. So there's a lot of clinical focus of actual touching patients and providing care. And then there's the business side of that, too, of making sure we're collecting the funds to help us support our programs. And then there's the administrative stuff. There's the government affairs. There's extra weird layers on top of the medical stuff that has to do with Medicaid and a lot of other really specialized, you know, licensure or things that are more on the administrative side, and then a lot of the just community partnerships. So a couple of the big projects that we're working on that have just kind of emerged as the immediate projects, one is our friends at the dental school. And thank you, Janice. It's just been so much fun. And really, this is a model program of two schools having their own specific needs, coming together and really leaning in and building teams and cross-pollinating, and their staffs are doing the same things, and they meet a lot, and there's a lot of really exciting things and a couple nuances. And Regent Breger, we'll follow up with you offline too to dive deeper into your questions. But one of the high-level things that I see that's really exciting about this is there's the academic side and there's the business side. The academic side, there have been some challenges for the dental hygiene students in getting access to the patient and clinical experiences they need to complete their programs, but also to excel. And it's sort of like what Dr. Denali was saying about their students in Elko being able to go to renowned hospital and see more advanced clinical care. So it's also going to enrich the experience too. So from an academic side, and this is one of the things that they already have signed affiliation agreement that's both ways. So the CSN students can go to what I believe is a dental hospital. And if you haven't been to the dental school, we need to have some tours because it is amazing. is really an amazing resource. And so I love the idea of the campaign, and I'm happy to help with that. So, but it's also the UNLV School of Dental Medicine students and residents being able to go out to another clinic site to see a different patient population. So from an academic standpoint, it's going to help the dental students from UNLV and CSN. But then also, one of the big things that's going to help with the billing and collection is this medical records, the Axiom medical records, and the idea that UNLV already has this beautiful, best-in-class record that they're able to share, and it's a cost savings. It's then everyone's using the same system. It will help with the billing. It will help with understanding who's doing which billing, and then also being really leaning in on the billing to make sure that we're tracking things, that the bills are easy to do. So I think that's going to be a big piece of it. And part of it, too, is like, okay, you can't just say, here's Axiom. You got to upgrade your systems and make sure you have the computer. So there's some of this is taking a while because you got to make sure that everything's in place. And so, but they're working really hard. And I think there's some things that are going to be falling into place really quickly as soon as that Axiom thing goes and the physical plan. Another thing, as you mentioned at the beginning, is this awesome partnership with UMC and the UNLV School of Medicine. It is such an important partnership, and there's some really exciting new things that are just on the cusp of happening. We're looking at going into the discussions about what the next round of the affiliation looks like, but I want to share some other things that are going on. Just an example. So in addition to the medical school, the School of Public Health and School of Allied Health Sciences, so public health doing all their different research, and then allied health sciences, for instance, they have the OT and PT schools. I've been working with those deans and working with the clinical folks at UMC and to help build a bridge there because, like, for instance, UMC has their trauma center. They are going to do a new service line of having inpatient rehab because they have a stroke center and trauma. We have OT and PT. How do we make sure those folks are in the loop, those experts who can help with even the architectural design? How do you set it up? How do you improve your systems? And so we've got some other folks that we're bringing to the table with UMC. Another thing that we're working on is these health science clusters. And so one of the things that Dr. Denali, I will share, when I was here before, we had a Nursing Deans and Directors Council. And we're getting ready to start that back up. And so the first person I called was Dr. Denali, because she used to sit on it when she was the nursing director a while back at GBC. But so what we're looking at is with the dental school, we've been working on this very specific partnership. But then it was like, oh, guess what? TMCC also has a dental program. And so we have a dental and she dental coalition to be beyond just this specific thing, to make it broader, to see what can we do and how do we get folks together so everybody's cross-pollinating, so that they know each other, so that if there's any issue that or opportunity that arises, that we're already organized and ready to go. We're getting ready to pull together a Nursing Deans and Directors Coalition. And then there's some other things that will be coming on that's kind of organically start because of an issue or a bill or something. But it just kind of makes sense to have that structure in place. It's not over-programmed, but at least it's a defined thing that if we need to activate it, it's ready to go. So those are three big things just on the operations side that we're working on. Let me give a quick overview of the bills.
Just to ask, you know, when you're talking about how you want to get, we're talking about all these great programs we have and we want to make sure we're providing the service for the community. Do you work with the Board of Examiners at all? To just kind of see where there is shortfall, or, you know, just from my experience running my center for gambling addiction, it's very difficult to find CPGCs, which are certified problem gambling counselors. And so, you know, and it's and then to find a Hispanic speaking problem gambling counselor is even more difficult. And so it would be really great to maybe work with the Board of Examiners to kind of see where some of that need is too. So just throwing that out there on the record. And then also CASAT, I think, has done a really great job too. And I think that they can really put things together and also share with you a lot of the need that's happening too within our community. So just giving you that so you have it.
Thank you. And that is in the administrative bucket, because we do a lot of work with DHS and the new Nevada Health Authority. We do stuff with the different licensing boards.
Great. So, yes.
Okay. And I also just talked with Dr. John Packham yesterday, who runs the Office of Statewide Initiatives out of the UNR School of Medicine, and he has rural health, and he does this great study every year that looks at the shortages. And so there's a whole system-wide function of that, of how can we make sure we're meeting the needs and not just guessing.
Great.
You know, we need to make data-driven decisions and work with our partners, and also working with the Nevada Hospital Association, the Nevada Rural Hospital Association. Hey, they need nurses. We need nurse faculty. How can we all work together on that? So there's some opportunities.
I love it. I think before you go to the legislative update, quickly, Regent Brager is going to ask a question.
You can even get back to me. So one of the questions I have is, we have the dentist, we have the school support staff. I'm a giant support staff person. Like I said, I'm happy to have you call me later. How are we training them? What are we doing? Not only to work at our dental and medical schools to support the dentists so that they can just do their job and not have to do the rest of that. What classes can we see now and in the future so they can go out to the dental world? We can't forget that I used to like, when I worked in the system, if the principal was gone, I could run the office. But if the custodian was gone, I didn't want to do that job. So, you know, some people can be gone for the day and others can't. And so I would like in the future, maybe at our next meeting even, to be able to address that support staff venue of very important people that care, frontline. And if we could do that in the future, I'd really appreciate knowing more about that.
Thank you. And that'll be part of our analysis we're doing in the 114, the allied health programs.
Okay.
Because there's
Thank
a lot
you.
Of that. And then I think Dr. Nally identified a couple of the programs that are like that.
Thank
but
you.
Yes, that's it.
They're so,
healthcare is a team sport.
It is, and without them, other people can be home for the day. But I found when they were gone, actually, that's what I did for years ago. But then the office just fell apart, and so did everybody else.
Yes.
Let's go. Legislative update, hey. Marcia.
All right. So there. It was really amazing how many different bills in the session affect healthcare, whether it's insurance or licensure. Some of them affect health education, and some of them help just the industry, but we have to pay attention to those. So there's a lot to track, but there were a couple of bills that came through that really affect us directly. One is the governor had a reorganization of his health departments. So the Department of Health and Human Services is now split into two. So Department of Human Services still exists. Richard Whitley is the director of that. I've worked with him for years, and he's a great person to work with. And they still have opioid settlement funds and the different things related to mental and behavioral health. And then the governor created this new Nevada Health Authority, and Stacey Weeks is the director of that, and she is also terrific. And so what they've done is they've taken the business functions, Medicaid, PEB, and some of the, not quite the direct services, but the payment, the business services, and set it apart. And it's a really good move, and it's great for us, and we have a great rapport with both as sister agencies. And so I think that's going to be really important, especially as we look at our practice plans and the business side of things. So that was one bill, act of legislation that came through that affects us in a really positive way, and compliments to the governor, because it really is a sensible move, and he has two great directors that are really great people to work with. Another thing that was mentioned earlier is, in the past session, the NC nursing programs got $20 million for expansion, and then in this last session, we got another $20 million to expand. We have seven nursing programs, and this is part of why I'm pulling together this Nursing Deans and Directors Committee. All of them have their own niche, their own dynamics, their own physical plant, their own faculty needs, but a lot of them have similar needs. Like, the community colleges tend to have faculty shortages and challenges with faculty. Everybody's got physical plant shortages. So it's a lot of money, and it's really important, and it's such a blessing. But how do we help our programs to lean in, and if they have any challenges along the way, how do we make sure they're all sharing and collaborating, and if somebody's got a good idea how to solve a problem, that everybody can share it. So we're creating that venue, and we're going to help facilitate it. They're all doing their own programs, but and in consultation with Dr. Denali, it seems like a good thing to do as far as moving that together. I've talked to every one of the nursing deans, and we are ready to launch that program, and so it's really exciting.
We're a system, so this is great.
Yeah.
This is really great.
Yes, and I heard something on the radio, and I don't know who said it, but they talked about synergies and thinergies. And so how do we share resources? How do we make sure we're being efficient and effective and collaborative and coordinating and all of those things? And so it's sort of a natural thing, but it's hard to do when you're spread out over the whole state. So so we're going to move forward with that. The legislature also gave NSHE and some of the individual programs in SB 165 funding to help support the development of a new mental and behavioral health profession. And so some of the money is coming directly to NSHE. Some of the money is going to GBC, UNLV, and UNR. It's about $6.4 million. Senator Rochelle Wynn was the champion of this bill, and she's really just done a great job of promoting it and staying with us throughout the whole system. Yesterday was the bill signing. But then there's this this nonprofit entity called the Ballmer Institute, who has been leaning in on this, and they work in Washington and Oregon, and they've done a ton of work in this area, and so they are a neat corporate partner in this effort too, and they are going to be helping us stand this program up. So because it involves a lot of the different elements, I've been asked to help kind of shepherd it and oversee it, especially for there's $2 million of scholarships for specifically in this professional area that's going to run through NSHE. So I'm working with the provost from UNR, UNLV, and Nevada State because it's a graduate level focus to make sure we can have a really transparent, rational process for how the funds are going to flow, and then they are going to deploy them directly. So we're working together. We have an overall working group and then subgroups. And so we're just trying to make sure up at the very beginning we set up the structure right, and then we keep supporting them throughout. So that's – and then one last thing is there was funding for graduate medical education expansion that will also be coming through the Nevada Health Authority. Both of our med school programs are watching that. I'm working with the department to help too, and that will be coming soon.
Was that the $10
million? It's $9
million. Okay.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you so much.
Any questions?
Thank you, Dr. Turner. Does anyone have any? Oh, Regent, make it quick, Regent Boylan.
Okay, if I can get this thing to work. All right. Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a quick question. You said something about you went really fast. About $6 million, the last thing. You got $6 million for what?
So it's $6.4 million.
Yeah.
And there's funding to UNLV, GBC, and Nevada State College to start a new track within their bachelor's prepared programs for this mental and behavioral health area that can help be targeted in this new profession. And also to develop micro-credentials so that, like, for instance, teachers can take some classes in this area of mental and behavioral health training, and then they can help get a certificate.
I see.
So there's some very specific programmatic funding that goes directly to the three schools, and then there's some funding to UNLV for an internship program, and then there's $2 million that comes through NSHE for the support of graduate-level folks, because when you do any of these mental and behavioral health programs, you have to go do clinical training, and you need to have a licensed person who's qualified to supervise you. So the funding for the scholarship is to fund those folks who will end up going to be able to supervise, because that's a logjam. So that'll help put more people on the streets to be able to help the next round of folks coming through.
Outstanding. Thank you. Madam Chair, 5 more questions? No, I'm kidding. Go ahead.
Thank you, Regent Boylan. Thank you, Dr. Turner. I don't see anyone else has any other questions, so we will move on. That was a great presentation. Now we have new business. Does anyone have any items for new business? Okay, seeing none, we will move on to our public comment period, I believe. Yes. So do we have any public comment at GBC?
We have no public comment at GBC.
Thank you. Is there any public comment at the system office in Reno?
None in Reno.
Thank you, Regent Arascata. Is there any public comment here in Las Vegas? Any public comment on the phone?
None at this time, Madam Chair.
Thank you so much. All right. Well, our meeting is adjourned. Thank you.